Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Dane Young and, of course, former Georgia Bulldogs head coach Jim Donnan. We're going to pepper Coach Donnan with questions about spring practice and talk about the pro day that Georgia had on Wednesday. And we appreciate all of you. We have a ton of our normal Tuesday viewers. You're joining us here on Thursday night. We appreciate you doing that. We moved it because we knew that Kirby would be speaking with the media, or usually he speaks at noon. So we didn't want to go head to head with Kirby, but he actually came in a little bit earlier. He spoke at 11 on Tuesday, but then we got to speak to Carson Beck, Michael Williams, Smile Munden, and Tate Ratledge. So we spoke to four players and a coach on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we thought about, well, hey, let's do the show on Wednesday. Well, we had Pro Day. So we had all the Pro Day stuff going on. So we didn't do it on Wednesday. And then we thought, okay, let's do it Thursday. And we thought, well, we can do it Thursday mid-afternoon, noon, or we can wait till after practice. And sure enough, Kirby Smart actually set it up so that we got to watch part of practice today. Not a whole lot of time, but more than we normally get. So we are appreciative of the insight. So we'll kind of take them in order. We'll go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and do a recap as we go along. Coach Donnan, I want to get your thoughts on this. Kirby Smart opened practice talking about the fact that he has basically 30 new players. He has 22 early enrollees and a bunch of transfers. He said, look, that's a third of your roster, and getting those guys in is pretty big. And we spent a good part of today, and I'm still just finishing up my photo gallery from earlier, looking at all the new guys. It's just mind-boggling the turnover that they have out there. It does feel like a whole new team.
Well, it's something they've done for the last couple of years. Fortunately, we had a chance to do that last year with the early enrollees, maybe not quite as many portal people. But I was talking to Dane before the show. It used to be spring practice. You lose all your seniors and your guys go to the pros and all that, and you just don't have enough depth. But by bringing in the early enrollees, and as you mentioned, 30 people, then they can do a lot of what they call two spot, where they do the threes and fours can go and get a lot more reps than they normally would because you got more bodies. But it really helps your team get ready. I know it helps you find out about special teams guys, how they can maybe help your team early. And, a lot of times you got a guy that jumps out there in spring like Malachi Starks did a couple springs ago and jumps in there and starts the first game. So, no question, there's a lot of young, good players there, and it'll be some good competition. And the best thing about it is they find out what the standard is for Georgia football. They find out how to practice, how to work against each other, how to protect each other in practice as far as not taking cheap shots or hitting low, all the things that cause injuries when people are trying to be heroes and stuff. So it's just a great acclimation. I don't know how you'd say it, but it's
acclimation.
You get acclimated to each other, and plus the weight room, plus the academics, everything involved. So, but we're off to, we always talk about there's only 15 days of practice, but there is the added value of having the walkthroughs and the meetings on the off days where there's a lot of good teaching involved, where you can take the previous day and look at what you did right or wrong, and also install what you're going to put in the next day. And Kirby does a good job in the spring practice of installing a whole lot. And even though you don't play a game, but you get to see a little bit about all your different packages that you have, and very well organized.
Yeah, I was looking at the after today's practice, I turned to Jed May and we did a quick little video together, and I'm like, that was chaotic. And I chaotic in a good way. At one point, they've got four quarterbacks throwing four different routes to four different receivers at the same time. So they line up, they all drop, they throw, they go back up, and then let's say the guy who's at the number one spot, he moves to number four, everybody else moves up. And you got the same routes with four different receivers, and they throw again. And I mean, you get 16 pass routes on air in the span of what, a minute? I mean, it's nuts. You're trying to
it's good. Right now, the whole idea is you don't want to throw a team pattern and throw the ball to one guy when you don't have a defense over there. So just to explain it to the fans, you're actually got four receivers and they're all running a play, and each quarterback knows which one they're going to throw to. So the receivers run a better route knowing that they're going to get the ball no matter what. And it just helps your timing. And it's called routes versus air. Yep. And they've been doing that ever since. I did it in college. We did it in college. And it's just a good way to really help your fundamentals and watch your drops and as far as your technique dropping back. And if you can't throw against air, you have a hard time throwing against the defense. That's for sure.
No, you're right. I mean, I've seen, going back as long as I've been here, I've seen two guys do it. Then I remember seeing three. Now they're up to four. And I've just with the receivers running back, you know, to get back to the line, you almost expect them to run into each other, but they just say, look, stay down that way. Then all the quarterbacks run down the other end and they go back the other direction. The defense and offensive lines, the sheer number of drills they're doing. My point is the efficiency with which they get, I don't know how long practice is, maybe 2 hours or an hour and a half. They've got it down to the second for efficiency's sake, and it is crazy the number of reps that they get in. And yeah, it is. Having all those new guys certainly does help. So my head would be spinning if I was a freshman just trying to keep up with what the hell to go.
Well, one of the things we talk about on our show for people that might not listen to us during the day is Kirby spends about an hour every day after the practice schedule is set up working with some auxiliary guys as far as where they're going to put the different drills, who's going to be in the drills, which coaches are going to be responsible for it. And that saves a lot of manpower just from a standpoint. You're going to be assigned that, and that's what you do. You know, sometimes maybe the receiver coaches helping the defensive backs that are working on being gunners for the punt team, teach them how to release against press coverage because, you know, defensive backs, they usually press people, but they're not releasing. So, and, you know, at the same time, maybe the defensive back coach is helping a receiver who's maybe on a kickoff return team or the whatever it might be, you know, as far as how to hold a guy up. So it's all relevant to getting the, let's say, into the day. And I just really think that fundamentals are so critical in any operation, any sport. But that's one of the reasons why our team's good. We're fundamentally sound, and we usually don't make a lot of errors as far as where we're supposed to be. And part of that is just really honing in on it. And for the people who have been in the indoor facility, there's a big video board there, and on that board is the actual practice schedule, and it tells you where you're going next, just to remind you that, you know, hey, the D line's going here, the O line's going here, and this is what you're doing. And Kirby also has something. If he wants to get their attention, he says something, and then everybody grabs one knee, and he knows that when he tells them that, everybody's just silent, and they're going to say, hey, we're going to make this change, or we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. It's just a good way of communicating. I think they know that we're not going to have a bunch of guys running around not knowing where to go. And they assign some younger coaches that, whether it might be volunteer or student coaches, that sometime early on in the practices, you know, you're just going to take these three defensive backs midway through this drill and take them to another drill so they can, so they're not standing watching. They want to get them in something else. So. It's very good.
You know, we also saw that when you have guys like Michael Williams today was, you know, he works with Trey Scott, and then he goes and works with Uzo Deribe to get some outside linebacker reps. And there's got to be somebody saying, hey, Michael, now's your, you know, get him over there. So it helps to have those, you know, they can't coach because they're not, you know, on-field coaches, but they can sure as hell direct, you know, hey, your time's up. So, again, the efficiency with which you cross-train those guys with not at just different positions with the same coach, but at different positions with different coaches. It's pretty damn impressive.
The thing that struck me today, Roddy, was this week is probably maybe third in days or a couple days that display the quality of your program. If you hold a championship trophy, that's one. If you have a top recruiting class in college football, that's got to be up there. But you just think about, in the matter of just a few seconds of just turning my head at that practice field, Ladd McConkey was hanging out there. Tyke Smith, they hung around after their pro day. Those are guys that are NFL football players soon to be drafted. They were just around scouts from every team in the NFL that came to Athens to make sure they were a part of that. But then you turn the other way, and there are high school recruits there watching this Georgia practice. And in the middle of it all, here's a team that's won two out of the last three national championships, is the premier program in the sport right now. And you just say, this is all the different eras of this coming together in this 1, 2, 3 days right here. I kind of understand why Kirby Smart says that he really loves springtime, because you get to coach these players, but you also get to see the beginnings and the past, like all these different eras of Georgia right here in front of you.
No, to your point, you had a bunch of top targets were in town today. Juju Lewis was out there today. You know, Eugene Hilton, kid that Georgia's really in on, CJ Wiley, Ethan Barber. A lot of kids there. Then the 22 freshmen who were out there, you know, then the Kirby talked about, he says, I've got 30 to 40 guys that we know can play championship level football. What I'm looking for is the next 30 to 40 guys who can prove to me that they can play championship level football. That was in his opening remarks about the practice and the start of spring. And coach, you nailed it when Kirby said, and you can see the grin on his face. He goes, I love having a practice, then a day off, then a practice, then a day off. Well, not a day off, but a day between the practices. He says, man, we can really focus in on ourselves. And a couple of the players actually said the same thing. They're like, look, we're not prepping for Clemson. When Georgia starts fall practice, they'll be thinking Clemson, Ole Miss, Texas, Alabama. But in spring, you're only against yourself, and it is all fundamentals. And the way the coaches were talking, describing practice or yelling at their guys today, it was all about fundamentals. It's not, hey, this is what we got to do to get prepared for Clemson. This is what we got to do to make ourselves better. And you could just see Kirby coming out as, I can't wait to make this team better. I can make improvements. And he I don't want to say called out his top 30 to 40 guys, but he's like, look, we got to make sure those guys aren't coasting. You can't just show up and go through the motions. I got to know that Carson Beck is getting better, that Trevor Etienne's getting better, that Michael Williams is getting better, Malachi Starks, who's out, of course, but all those guys are getting better. And you could see the smile on his face. So, Coach, I know you like spring practice.
Yeah, I'm just telling you right now, if anybody coached here, their ass is out of here. You don't you got the hammer down. I'm talking about coaches. Everybody out there is under the gun. You know, the coaches are watching them, and the coaches are coaching coaches that are new, helping them out. But it's pretty similar everywhere. But you don't have it made any place. You got to continue to improve. And, you know that these other teams that we're going to be playing, they're doing the same thing. You got to establish an identity. But the one thing that we really do extremely well, from my perspective, is we put a lot on our kids' plate mentally in the spring that maybe some other people don't do. They do more, you know, contact work and going against each other and we do, we're definitely physical, but the first couple of days we're lining up in some funky looking formations and bringing some defensive pressures. And it's not like the old days where, hey, you're going to have first 4 days of practice, they're going to, defense is going to be in one look and then one coverage, and the offense is going to be in two formations, and everybody gets evaluated. Here you get evaluated if you're not mentally ready to do what's necessary. I don't care how good you are, you're going to not get on the field here, because that's just the style we use.
Excuse my laughing, Coach, but you said it. Talk about being under the microscope. One of the last things we heard when we were walking out of the field today was Kirby Smart yelling at the recruits. He's like, if you are a prospect and you are looking at your phone, then that tells me you are not interested in my practice. I'm like, how the hell does he see that? Those guys are way off on the sideline. He's running practice, but he's got his eyes on the recruits over there. And he saw, maybe it might have just been one of them looking down.
Well, if he's in the top of their heads, that means they're not looking at, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're not. Well,
he's good about that. And the point is, you know, the kids should be here studying and watching. And for our fans again, or the listeners, when you say Juju Lewis is here, he wasn't here just for practice. He goes into meeting and meets with Bobo and Gummy and those guys. He's around the players. And it's the total deal here, because you got to realize he's going to other places the same way he's coming here. And you just don't want him to go out there to practice. And the other thing that can happen at practice, if you just tell a guy to go stand over and watch practice as compared to, let's just say Roddy's the recruit, and I'm going to be assigned to him during practice. So what I'm going to do is go over there and make sure he goes to the right drill every time, explain the drill, point out who the players are, say this guy's a sophomore, you know, and let them know this guy's a rising junior. Reason we got you here is because we think you can fit in here, and just keep peppering him with details, but also making sure that no stone is unturned as far as questions that he might have about different things, as compared to a guy standing over there just watching them and thinking to himself, well, you know, boy, that guy looks pretty good. And then he realizes that the guy is probably not even going to play here. I mean, so, you know, sometimes a guy can make a great play out of practice and be a hero. And so you got to educate the kids that are here. A little bit like that, just to make sure they understand what the deal is, what the reason for the drills are. And then they hopefully they've been here earlier in the day to go over all that stuff.
Speaking of the guys that are here, one of the, I guess I don't call it the big news, but when Kirby Smart started on Tuesday, when he did his opening statements, he listed off a long line of guys who are out for the spring or who are limited. Of course, he mentioned Branson Robinson, the guy who the running back who messed up his patella. But he did give good news there, mentioning the fact that he's running straight lines now. He's a couple months away from being, I guess, fully back. He said that he was on a 9-month turnaround or recovery. He's on month 7 or 8 right now. He also mentioned Bo Hewley went shoulder surgery. Tyrum Ingram-Dawkins had surgery in his foot. Chris Jones also had foot surgery. Christian Miller had a meniscus issue, but he's back, but he'll be limited in the spring. Smile Munden, of course, had the surgery on his foot. He's out. We did get to speak to him. Smile was quite funny. Malachi Starks had shoulder surgery. He's limited for spring. Ra-Ra Thomas is not full speed for spring. Although I did see Ra-Ra, he looked good, but you know, not he wasn't out there. Damon Wilson had meniscus surgery, but is back DeMello Jones is having hamstring. But the biggest news, I think, Coach, was Pierce Berlin, the tight end, has to take a medical disqualification. So Georgia's down a lot of guys, 7 different surgeries that Kirby Smart mentioned, multiple guys limited, and Pierce Berlin out. Pierce was at practice today. But I just feel awful for Pierce Berlin.
Yeah, you hate that when anybody has to be disqualified for a medical issue. But you got to make sure you're very careful when you're looking at the different things that come up. But I think certainly we got some guys that aren't going to practice. But it's not like they're except for the one injury to the running back, which is taking a long time. It just has to when your patella tendon torn. But I think overall, one of the things that Kirby likes to do is get them fixed quickly, you know, and we're a lot more worried about the summer and the fall than we are the spring. And if there's any doubt, then go ahead and take care of it now. And that way they got a long time to rehab. So, and you can do that a little more now when you got the younger guys coming in on to help your depth. And because let's just face it, you got to get your team ready as much as you got to get the individuals ready. And if you don't have enough corners, it's hard on the receivers because they, you know, you just can't run those defensive backs to death trying to cover all those receivers if you only have a couple, or and vice versa. If you don't have many receivers, who's giving the reps to the DBs? And the same thing with the O line and D line. So it's all a process. And it just the thing I like about it, it's a proven process. I mean, you go back to when Kirby was at Alabama, I mean, they do the same thing every day, every spring, every fall. I mean, there's not much change in the schedule. I mean, pretty much know what it is.
I don't want it to change. There's too many titles, too many championships won.
Well, Coach, this time last year you were saying that the only practice report you wanted to hear from Brock Bowers is that he had bubble wrap on and that he would walk on the field the next day just fine. I'm assuming someone like Malachi Starks is in that same boat for you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to get to a point where a guy is running reps to help the team at the expense of it's kind of exact. I'm kind of saying the exactly opposite of what I just said. You got to get your team ready and do all that. But some of these stars, you know, I think you got to be careful about, you know, making sure they get ready and everything, but they don't have to be on the scout team either. So I like to a certain extent, protect some of those guys. It's kind of like NFL guys in preseason games, maybe not using as many of them as you do, you know, some guys you're trying to evaluate. But our talent level here is definitely, I mean, I would think you guys saw them today. They look, they don't have uniforms on, but look very athletic and can really run.
Yeah, that's a good looking team. Let's take a quick break and talk about Pro Day. So Tuesday was, you know, kind of the introduction to it. They were out there in shorts and T-shirts, basically, you know, jerseys. And they put out a photo gallery, and you could tell the guys were kind of getting acclimated. Today was a little bit busier, but in between those two practices was the Pro Day. And let's talk about who helped themselves, so, or at least your thoughts and observations from Pro Day. But first, let's mention it's today's Pi Day. Today is March 14th, 3.14. And our friends at YourPie, they have a deal right now where you can order a YourPie, the full 10-inch pizza, for $5. It's a great deal. And usually they do it for a couple of days. So you might want to check on their website and see whether or not, you know, you can get it, even though it's a little, it's in the evening. And again, you still got time to order pizzas from them. But usually if you go ahead and do it on the app, you can order it to be picked up tomorrow or the next day, and you can get that really good deal they have going there. Of course, YourPie's giant, I won't call it a chain because it's a bunch of different franchises, but they have over the concept is pretty bloody good. The fact that you're able to open 70 different stores, and all of every time I go into one, there's always somebody, you know, it's always kind of busy. So when you get the chance, check out YourPie. And I know, Dane, you've been by there recently.
I went to the one in Watkinsville on my way to this podcast from practice, and they were lined up out the door for Pi Day. Excited about that. So I'm glad that I ordered online. I used the app and got in and out of there and get home to make sure I could make it here for the podcast. But they had a live musician out there on the patio. It was a great setup. I wish I had more time to hang out there. And I'm sure that that's kind of the celebration they're doing all during YourPie for Pi Day. But hey, 3:15 is a good day for pizza too.
And again, if you think it's a good franchise idea, hit them up and get a franchise, YourPie franchise. If you don't want to get into restaurant franchises, but you do want to be your own boss, reach out to our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net. They can help you with, you know, turnkey, heavy investments, light investment, work from home, work in an office. He's got over 3,000 different franchises out there. And you start thinking about that is a lot. And there's so many different styles and so many different businesses. Right now, with the economy being what it is, the hot franchises right now are anything basically home-related. Homes are expensive. There's not a lot of them on the market. A lot of people are doing home improvements. So, you know, anything from the ground floor up, roofs, windows, doors, interiors. There's so many different franchises out there that you can get into, and you have a built-in market. People want to do this sort of stuff to improve their home. So, but hey, see, look, I don't have the expertise for that. I want to do something different. reach out to Andy Ludecky and the folks at MyPerfectFranchise.net, and they will get you squared away. Guarantee it. All right. Thoughts on Pro Day?
Yeah, from my perspective, I think taking into effect the Senior Bowl, the actual combine, and then the what we saw on Wednesday, I think Ladd McConkey just passed with flying colors because he did really well in all three, and he just proved that what we already know, that he's a superior route runner and had outstanding quickness and times to accelerate anybody's doubts about, you know, is he just a slot receiver? Is he a possession guy? I mean, a guy can run that fast and run that quick and has the hands that he has and has the tape that he has and all the routes that he's run against really good defensive backs here in at Georgia and in the league, SEC, and the teams we played against. I think the issue is going to be you got three guys going in the top 12 probably, and Neighbors and Marvin Harrison and that Adunzi guy from Washington. So, but he's going to go in the top 35 guys probably. And he really helped himself. The two guys that didn't run were Bowers. And I had a chance to see him on Sunday. He had come back and just happened to bump into him at when I was out for breakfast. And he was telling me that he was still a little bit worried about his hamstring and he didn't feel like he needed to take a chance. So I think he's going to run again. So, I mean, one time April the 10th or something like that, maybe, but who cares if he does. And then the Amarius Mims, same thing. Why take a chance on it? But you got to think those three guys are really up there close in the top echelon. And then you add Kamari Lassiter, who really had some good quickness times at the combine, but didn't run a flat-out fast 40, but this guy can play the nickel. He can play corner. He's a tough guy. He's a crafty type player. I spoke to Daniel Jeremiah about him and his thoughts on what happened at our pro day. And he just feels like the pro scouts that are watching this guy has such good technique and it can recover very smart. And he's going to go in the top 52. And then you add in there, Ty Key helped himself with a really good time at the combine. Bullard looked really good on the drills. Both these guys can cover good enough as a safety. They don't have to be a corner-type cover guy. So they're going to go third, fourth round, both of these guys too. So maybe even higher, who knows. But it just – I liken back until 8 years ago, and I went over there to the pro day, and Kirby just left Alabama the year before where they stacked up like cordwood on pro day, you know, and we had one guy go in the fourth round, the little receiver.
Isaiah McKenzie,
that was it. And Kirby said, we're going to change. I'm not going to say the language, but – he said, we're going to change this pretty quick. And I thought about that yesterday when I was reflecting back to that point and to see the efficiency with which the whole operation ran, the way it's all organized. And the pro scouts see that. And they see the way these kids are trained and taught. And, of course, this is Georgia's show, and we're talking up and giving some love to them. But proof's in the pudding, man. I mean, look at the last 2 years, the guys we've had drafted. And, Dane, you did a fantastic job on that article that you wrote about that 21 team. And you might just point out to the people that hadn't read it how many guys are – if the right guys get drafted off this year's team coming up, not this class, but the ones that are seniors, how many are going to be, you think, in the NFL?
I've had a lot. Let me pull the article back up and make sure I got this number right.
You can't use notes on this show.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
At your computer. I got my old man AARP. I got to remember all this stuff. So you're going to read it, not try to tee you up, and you can't even tell us.
That's exactly right. I can't count it on my fingers and toes, Coach.
Oh, that's good. Go ahead.
Dude, you had 25 the last 2 years, 10 more this year. That's 35. I'm just picking 10.
It'll be in the 40s, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you got a few more. It'll be seniors this year.
Well, I mean, the main point was that people talk about the 2019 LSU team as legendary. And in terms of first-round picks, that Georgia team in 21 is going to surpass that. I mean, it already really has. But that defense especially. But you start looking at some of these skill guys that came from this with Bowers. And, you know, some of these guys don't finish up at Georgia. And A.D. Mitchell was on that team. And you have to count him as a part of this too. Right. So I'm pulling up the numbers here while we chat.
I'm looking back at that class or that team and still feel bad for thinking that, oh, Clemson might beat them. Yeah. that didn't happen. But that was a –
That's a great
– I want to go back. I want to give Coach credit. I want to give Coach credit because I remember when we were talking about maybe the first week of practice before the 2021 season, before they did everything that they did, Coach mentioned on this show, he said, look, I talked to some scouts. They went and visited Clemson. And then they visited Georgia. Tuesday they were all at Clemson. Wednesday they were all at Georgia, whatever day it was. And those scouts told Coach, this team is different. This team is loaded. And I'm like, oh, well, that sounds great. But Clemson's a pretty good, you know, they've been on top and Georgia hasn't quite gotten there, especially coming off that 2020 season. Like,
we played a little tight that game too. I mean, we weren't wide open, you know, as far as just we played very conservative. It was a great interception and everything. But
here's the numbers now that Coach teed me up and I was able to look it up. Georgia enters the draft this year. 25 players already have been selected. We're thinking that's going to increase by 10 or 12 in this 2024 draft. So then in 2025, looking at what the players that would be drafted in 2025, but were on the 2021 team, could be around 8 players, maybe a few more, maybe a few less. If it's 8, that would make 44 players drafted from the roster, with roughly 13 of them being first-round picks.
Good. And then you add your punter and your kicker, just amazing. But hey, nobody really wants to hear that now as much as you want to hear about the future. That's the way it goes in football. But I like the fact that how much improvement we've made as far as the quality of the players on our squad.
Coach, one thing I did want to ask you, though, when you have a pro day and all those NFL teams represented, you as a coach, does that allow you to go to your current team and say, look how close you are to this being your day here? Does that help you focus in on what's going on with your current players because you know their goals?
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, they got to go to class and they can't come over here and try to hang out and watch and, you know, they got to do it on the field, and that's the way you work it. But the one thing that Kirby does, which I really applaud, is a lot of these coaches are scared to let some of these pro scouts come in because they're paranoid about they're going to talk and tell one of their friends what we're doing or something. And anybody would ever do that would be out of the profession pretty quickly because there's, you know, just a blood oath. You don't ever talk about another team. You might talk like Roddy said, hey, the personnel is not as good as George or something like that. But what he'll say to them is, hey, Mims, you know, there's two big scouts coming in here today just to watch you practice. And you think he ain't jacked up every time. Or, hey, so-and-so, you know, hey, Tyke, this guy wants to see how you cover. We're going to play a little bit more man today so you can show them or whoever it might be. But he's always pressing those buttons. And the pro scouts love it because they can see these guys kind of like Roddy talks about. Sometimes, you know, we can only thing they get to look at stretching and things like that when you go out to practice. But sometimes these pro scouts have that. These paranoid coaches won't let them watch anything but just to look at the guys to get the eyeball test. when they come to Georgia, they get to watch them do everything.
Wow.
And they get to see them in the weight room. They get to see them do everything. And I can just tell you that we got a really good the pro people have a great respect for Georgia's program because of that, and because they know how they practice. And let's just say you're getting ready to draft a guy and you've seen him practice and the tape and everything else, but all you've seen is the tape of this other guy, and you don't know how he reacts to adversity in practice. Like, I used to like to watch a high school game and see how a kid acted over on the sideline if things didn't go good, or if how he interacted with his teammates. Is he a good teammate? Not to mention his ability for sure, but you don't want to bring in a turd. You know what I mean? You don't want to bring a guy in here that's not going to fit in your program. And same way the pro scouts can see that about there's not a lot of bitching and moaning around practice here as far as the players. They know what they got to do.
Well, and I think all these Georgia guys in the NFL help with this too. We talked about it with if Todd Monken knows these players from Georgia, which he would, Brian McClendon with the Buccaneers would know these players. I'm sure they're great resources there. But it's also the current players. If someone in the Bills goes up to James Cook and asks, you know, how was it being around Marcus Roseman Jackson? Is that a guy we need to have around our roster?
Right, right. And we got it. Again, it's easy to say this now, but it's a lot easier because you got 25 first round guys or 25 draftees the last couple of years. So the guy from Green Bay, you know, Gutekunst, the general manager, said, "Hey, Georgia's gold standard for watching and training teams, training players for the pros." I mean, you can't get a better quote than that.
That, hey, I like the fact what Matt Rhule said last year. He said he had all these NFL scouts in town, and they said, "This is the second hardest practice we've got to watch." And of course, the question was, you know, well, who's number one? He goes, "Oh, Georgia." He goes, and we'll be there someday. So again, I mean, all the way from Nebraska, they came in there. And
wonder what old Matt Rhule's thinking today now his AD's at Texas A&M.
You know, hey, about that. Fun times.
Hey, Dylan Raiola, come on out here. You know, I'm the AD. I played here, Trev Alberts. I'm in the Hall of Fame. You know, I really love Nebraska. Oops, sorry, I just went to Texas A&M.
Whoopsie.
Hey, I know we're about to transition, but, Coach, I'd love to get your take on what the Atlanta Falcons are doing, bringing in Kirk Cousins. You got Darnell Moody coming in there. Charlie Warner signs back home with the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, you got a proven commodity. This guy is thrown for a lot of yards, and he's got some outstanding people to throw to, and he got a really good offensive line, high-end players, and it was a good move. I mean, they put the money on him, and he's coming off an Achilles and everything, but he works hard, and he's a very studious guy, a lot like Matt Ryan as far as really knowing the game, and he's got a guy that this Robinson guy coming in that runs the same system he ran at Minnesota because O'Connell came from the Rams as well, the head coach from Minnesota. So I think it'll be good. And holy moly, we need the Falcons to win. I mean, it'd be great to see them win.
Well, you saw Kirk Cousins' kids wearing Georgia shirts at the Falcons.
Well, he's smart. That's good. You're not old enough to be recruited yet, but that's good. I know I saw a picture of him patting Uga on the sideline one time. He came to a game, and, you know, I mean, Uga is like as next to the Pope. I mean, who's like that?
He was talking about his father-in-law being a big Atlanta and Georgia sports fan. So we got to see if he's on the dog then. If he's not, we got to fix that. We got to
care about him. And you got Charlie Warner coming back. That's the only Falcons news that matters.
I'm pretty happy about Charlie. And we got Fitz over there too. So Fitzpatrick's still there. So two tight ends from Georgia.
Hey, 12 personnel. I love it. Let's go.
We got, of course, Pitts is giving up number 8 to let him be the quarterback. But
move Pitts to wide receiver, put in Fitzpatrick and Charlie Warner and 12 personnel. It's a done deal.
Look at this. Look at this, though. I mean, when you look at the guys that are playing for the Eagles and the Steelers from the Georgia Bulldogs right now, and Coach Tomlin was here again yesterday. I know his daughter's coming here to be a gymnast and everything, but, you know, we got the possibilities. I mean, they got three starters right now on their on their offensive team with Washington and Pickens and Jones. That's pretty good from – and all three of those guys were in that 21 game.
There you go. All right, let's talk about what we saw at practice today. So let's talk about something. We got some people in the comments asking about how does this guy look? How does that guy look? We'll touch on him. We did get about 17 minutes while we were out there. It felt quicker to me because we were taking a lot of pictures. But first, I want to bring up our friends over at Academia Brewing Company because they have a pretty cool thing coming up here. If you get the chance to swing by Academia Brewing Company on St. Patty's Day, just in a few days here, their St. Patty's Day specials look pretty good. They've got the Shamrock Rita, which is a Milagro Blanco tequila, melon liqueur, triple sec, fresh lime juice, and agave. That sounds great. They got the Lucky Leprechaun, which is Don Q coconut rum, Captain Morgan spiced rum, one of my favorites. Melon liqueur, blue curacao, pineapple juice, and creme de coconut. So that sounds like that will just kill you. Of course, they got Irish car bombs out there. You got to try those. And their St. Patty Day beers, a bunch of those. They even have brunch specials. They have the green mimosa, which is champagne, pineapple juice, and melon liqueur. And then the Irish breakfast shot with this Jameson butterscotch orange juice and a slice of bacon. That sounds amazing. So when you get a chance, try that. Of course, they always have good food out there. This week, they have shepherd's pie baked to perfection. So if you want a really good shepherd's pie, swing by the Academia Brewing Company. Check them out when you get the chance. And of course, we're in the middle of March, which means there are some fantastic deals going on at Athens Ford. You need to check out our friends at Athens Ford. All sorts of specials, 725 vehicles out there, new specials, specials on their used vehicles, specials on their maintenance. So when you get the chance, reach out to our friends at Athens Ford, test drive a new Bronco, test drive the Ford F-150 Lightning, test drive the new 2024 Ford Explorers, the Edges. You are going to be incredibly happy with your experience at Athens Ford. If you go to the car review, Rate My Dealer apps, and you read the reviews that come out of there, they're consistently the highest ranked one in the area. So check out our friends at Athens Ford. You'll be very happy that you did. All right, Dane, what did you see at practice today?
Well, I was following defensive line and tight ends. And, Coach, I thought about you because I think it was fall camp. Jamal Jarrett gets out there for Georgia. He's probably a little bit overweight. And Trey Scott was riding him hard. I think we all knew that Jamal Jarrett wasn't going to play a lot last season. But that coaching that happened then, you can see those benefits now. And you can look around the field and see how Georgia builds up guys. Me and some of the professors I work with, every student comes into UGA at a different skill level in certain things, and our job is to try to kind of take wherever they're at on the conveyor belt and get them further down where they want to be going to. And I really thought the same thing with football here, with seeing what Jamal Jarrett has done with his body, seeing how coachable he is. I just think that's a guy that's going to play a lot for Georgia this year.
He's got the potential, I mean, and he's definitely shed some pounds. He got some real good strength, there's such a big premium from everybody to play early. Everybody thinks if a guy doesn't play early, then something's wrong with him, but it's hard to do that. It's very difficult, but I think he'll definitely get some high quality reps this spring, and we'll see what he's able to do.
The other thing that just stood out to me, that photo that came out in the winter with all the tight ends and Jaden, I think it was the early enrollees, and Jaden Riddell looked so much taller than everyone else. That's a bit of a lens trick that was played there. He's a big guy, don't get me wrong, but he's not towering above the rest of the tight ends.
And no, he almost looks like Brock Bowers' clone. I mean, he looks exactly like him, and he run. I mean, 21 plus on the GPS. I mean, that's strong.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a great player. He was third in line with the doing the reps, if that matters to anyone. But I just think Oscar Delp is probably a better football player than a lot of us have given him credit for. We know he's been serviceable for Georgia. I think he can have a really big year, and he was the leader in that group today.
Yeah, I mean, Delp is a very experienced, benefited greatly his first spring, and the fact that some of our guys were hurt, and Washington in particular, and Bowers. So he was able to get a lot of reps and learned. And I think he definitely gives you a high-quality number one guy. And Lucky, to me, is a guy that just has not had the opportunity because of the tightrope surgery on his ankle, got behind the eight ball a little bit, but very talented. I mean, he has got a skill set that not many kids that size have, and I think we got good situation there. And then that kid from Florida is a good-looking tight end too, Heinrich. And, you know, we got – you mentioned the guy coming in. You said Barber was at practice today. Somebody said that, Nathan Barber?
Yes, sir.
And then that kid from down in South Georgia.
Elias Williams.
What is he, 6'8"?
Yeah.
I guarantee there's going to be a fight here when he gets here between the offense and defensive coaches of which side he's going to play on, because that guy is just unbelievable, good-looking athlete. Just watch him play basketball, so I think future tight end here is really good.
Now, I will say Georgia's
here, Coach. Yeah.
Georgia's a little short-handed at tight end right now this spring, just with four scholarship tight ends. Benjamin Urosik from Stanford's on his way. He's not here in the spring. He'll be here in the summer. That'll be a fifth scholarship tight end, but this is after Pierce Ferland's medical disqualification. But I was texting my buddy Jack Lunum, who was a walk-on at Georgia back in the Rick days, and he was saying that a lot of times a tight end is a position here right now for Georgia that you get more reps as a walk-on right now because you have more roster movement. You have more of these injury situations. So as a walk-on, some of those guys get more coaching now than they're ever going to get.
Right. Well, are you saying Elias Williams might not come here?
Right. I'm just saying FSU is moving heaven and earth to try to sign that kid.
You need to move something.
All I hear from the people down in Brunswick, Camden County, they're like, what's FSU is March here again today. They're coming by for him all the time.
What's today? March 14th?
Yes, sir. Bye, Dave.
I'll kiss your ass under every red light in Athens and give you 10 minutes to draw a crowd at each one of them if that kid doesn't come here.
Hey, that's how we get new subscribers.
Right there. I will put some chapstick on my behind because we're waiting to see how this one's going to come out. I just say that FSU is trying to get him hard because, to your point, that kid is special. He is – he's a freak of nature, and he gets your attention. But we'll hold out for him when we talk to recruiting. There was another guy out there, Coach, whose my eye was drawn to. I'm taking pictures as fast as I can because we're trying to put up a gallery. We have 150 photos at ugasports.com right now that you can check out. The first thing when I was watching the quarterbacks, saw Ryan Puglisi, big kid. Gunner looks good, of course. But Carson Beck was – he looks bigger. He definitely looked comfortable out there. And the body language between this year and last year, last year he was fighting for the job. This year he's the unquestioned starter. Just very relaxed. I think it's going to be a good year for Carson Beck. But one of the targets all those guys were throwing to was Colby Young. And we got the question there from James Carraway. He says it's early, but who's the freak that your eyes were immediately drawn to? I didn't get enough shots of the tight ends and some of the other wide receivers that I should have because my lens just kept following Colby Young. That is a huge kid. And
yeah, I mean, he naturally is going to get attention because he's so big. But, you know, he's got to do some things, but there's a lot of good athletes out there.
Oh, yeah.
You got the benefit of some I haven't, and the fact you've been to practice. And so I should just be sitting over here getting ready to watch Georgia play basketball, get my scouting report.
Coach, I'll tell you, Jordan Hall, oh, boy. Fans better be ready for him.
44. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a high quality worker, a lot like Michael Williams, you know, just really technician, works hard at it. And I think our perimeter linebackers with 35 and then the inside guys we got with the new additions, I mean, Cole 18 and then, I mean, and you look at the guys we got coming back. And then, of course,
Chris Cole, Justin Williams.
I think it's going to be really good for them to have a Smile out there kind of coaching them on the side. You know what I mean? He can relate to them when Coach Schumann's not doing every, you know, I mean, Schumann's got to be calling the defense, all that, but Smile's over there talking to one that's not in there. Okay, here's the defense. I want you to do it. There's another thing Kirby does, which I like. And if you're a hurt guy and you can't do what you're supposed to, you've got a copy of what we call the script. And it'll say, you know, what the play is going to be and what the defense is going to be. So the offensive coaches are looking at the offense and the defense. But it's all scripted so they help each other out. You know what I mean? So you don't want to do something to offense hadn't seen on defense or vice versa and make them look bad. You want to see how they can go against each other. And then that's when you have scrimmage. You don't have a script. But the point is, you know what that next play is, and you're telling them as a guy on the sideline, as a helper like Smile, okay, we're going to be running this B-gap blitz here. Let's see how he takes it on, you know. And now the kid knows exactly what to look at. And get a little bit more coaching there as compared to waiting till the next day and watching the tape and letting Schumann talk about it. Did you know they did that, Roddy?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's something we learned tonight.
I did. Well, we saw Pierce Sperling. You know, he was over there talking to those tight ends. So, and again, we're not seeing them doing the script when they're running the plays, but he's
– But a lot of times that's a hurt guy. That's his new lease on life. That's his way to still be involved. You know what I mean? It's just a chance for him to still contribute because it's hurting them. But if you can help them mentally and they're going to listen to you because you
watch your hand on your microphone, Coach.
You've been around all that stuff, you know? I mean, so I think that's really good that Sperling's going to stay out there. And another good addition Kirby made was getting Warren Erickson back here, who is really was a coach on the field when he was here at Georgia anyhow. I mean, he could run all those positions and play them all, and he knows everything. And he's going to be good to help coach, all the offensive linemen and help them all learn more technique.
Coach, I did want to ask you, our guys got out of there and we all looked at each other and we said, James Coley's back. We heard him. James Coley's voice sounds a little bit different than some of these other guys out here. Is there a coach that you ever coach with that their voice just carried further on the practice field, or it was so distinct in a way that it just stood out to you?
You know, there are definitely some guys that did that, but you know, sometimes these coaches, when the press is around, I don't think Coley's one of those, but you know, have a tendency to say some things. But we had one guy at Oklahoma, Bobby Proctor, that was pretty much a, you know, talked pretty loud out there. And of course, during the games, the defensive backs liked to be when the quarter changed, when they weren't on the same side as the Oklahoma sideline, because the corner on his sideline got so much grief. Watch your draw. Watch your curl. Watch your.
Now you with Coley out there, he's not performing for the media because we can't repeat 99% of what he says.
Oh, that's good, but you know, but old Proctor says, you hear, you're there, you hear, you're there. Shit, your beat. Here, there, here, shit.
I always like going to Rodney Garner in practice and watching him with the football on the stick. You know what I'm talking about, Roddy?
Yeah, that was good.
Hey, Rodney Garner, this is quoting Parliament Funkadelic. You know, that cracked me up. He's like, why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? There's nothing but the dog in me. And I'm tears rolling down my eyes. I'm laughing so hard, you know. Because he said it like it was theoretical, you know. And I'm like, is he quoting Parliament Funkadelic in the middle of practice? It was awesome. But, Coach, look, I'm talking about Colby Young coming in, and he was impressive for the size. But when I saw Trevor Etienne, I was surprised. He's not that he's a little guy.
He's thick. He's thick and not as tall as some of the guys. He's like looks like Swift, a lot like Swift. And how about Swift picking up that money going over there to West? I mean, man, I tell you, the Eagles are changing. They're dropping some of their feathers. I mean, their whole team's turned around with guys that have been retired and let go, and coaches let go. And
they just signed Devin White. Like N'Kobe Dean may be on the move eventually if Devin White.
They were like 11-2, and then they folded. And now, I mean, they got new coordinators, everything. I mean,
yeah. Question about Branson Robinson. Branson is the opposite. Branson's a giant. And the new kid, Chauncey Bowens, that's a big running back as well. But Branson Robinson looked.
And Rob.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about Rod Robinson. Robinson's loaded. Yeah. Kid's big. But we mentioned Branson Robinson. He's supposed to be good by fall because Kirby said he's on a 9-month turnaround. He's on month seven and a half, eight. So Branson Robinson should be good. But watching Rod Robinson out there, he's kind of the opposite of that Trevor Etienne. He's got the height and the size. So that running back group out there, Andrew Paul looked good. Cash Jones, of course.
I thought Robinson got hurt at the end of spring, last spring.
I'm just going on what Kirby said.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say, but.
And again, it could be from 9 months from a certain point, you know.
Yeah, that's probably right.
You know, not like
almost a year since he all of that. But I know this, when you got some that extreme reconstruction on your knee, what are you going to get out of going through spring practices compared to waiting 4 or 5 more months and letting him be ready for the fall? I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Well, and again, they kind of took it easy with Andrew Paul last year, and then we got to see him play some next year. I think this could be a big year for Andrew Paul because year two after the ACL. So
let me just tell you this. These guys in spring, they better get their ass in gear because you got two guys coming in going to challenge them with Frazier and his fast kid from over in Atlanta. So, I mean, we got a good – and then you got Cash Jones. I mean, he's legit. I mean, he's a legit back, but better give him some reps this spring. We don't want him going over to Georgia State.
There's some big boys out there in the offensive line. Georgia brought in a bunch of big ones. I thought Marquise Easley was pretty thick and big, and then Nair Daniels. That's kids a monster. Yeah. Woo!
They said Calhoun lost some weight too, right?
Now Calhoun, my shot of him, he's kind of hidden behind somebody else, but. Yeah, Calhoun's looking good. I'm trying to think of the other guy that kind of stood out to me. I'm looking on my list there.
I tell you,
David Calhoun. Yeah, because they had him listed like 350. There's no way that kid's 350 right now. So
if you just want to get somebody making mouth water, look at Robinson and Bolden, and just ridiculous. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they watching Ellis Robinson go up. One of the first snaps we saw was he's being blocked by Arian Smith, and Arian Smith coming down, and the two of those guys collide. Again, they're not in shoulder pads; they're just in helmets. But you put your hands on a guy, and I'm like, "Hey, welcome to the SEC, man!" You know, so it's fun to watch.
I think Arian's going to be kind of a light at the end of the tunnel this spring. I think he's going to, Coley. Really heavy technique guy that'll help this guy, and certainly he got a lot of help from BMAC too. But I think just a new voice to him, and it's going to look at him a different way. Maybe might be what Arian needs. I mean, he's among the top two or three fastest guys probably in the whole conference.
He is, and I love the idea of seeing him out there. Of course, we saw Dylan Bell running with the ones as expected, and Dylan has. I won't say he's been living in the weight room, but, Coach, I know how much you respect him and how much you like him. And that kid, he looked ready to go today. He caught a pass over, came in, dropped in over his shoulder. Don't know who threw it, but
Dylan Bell, a great wideout. Dylan Bell, real deal. Ra-Ra's a real deal. We haven't seen him at his optimum of about 2 or 3 games, but if he gets it rolling, he's a difference maker. And some of these young and Evans, scares me. I mean, if I'm on defense and he gets caught, he scares you. I mean, he just makes you. It's a good chance for if you want an elderly person to get him some exercise in the at the game and get him to stand up, he will get you to stand up. Can make it happen now. He's very.
Let's sneak.
I was a little confused when I saw Dom Lovett. I thought that was somebody else. He looks thicker to this year. I mean,
he's worked been
like 3 months, but what the hell, man? How'd you put on those kind of muscles?
He's a good looking kid. He's a good kid too.
Yeah.
Let's sneak in a couple questions here quickly. Some quick hitters from UGASports.com. Cajun Dog, are Hall, Jarrett Miller, and McLeod ready to make an impact on the defensive line to free up Michael Williams and the linebackers? Seems like Georgia's defensive line hasn't been quite as dominant as maybe as it was a couple years ago.
Well, it's not, but I mean, you got two first round draft choices, Carter and Walker. You know what I'm saying? And then you add, and then you add the guy that's playing for the Green Bay too. He went to first round too. So
Davis.
So maybe we're not there, but I think with the perimeter we have and the secondary we have, these guys will be better because people won't be open quite as quickly, and they can put more pressure on you. So it'll be a kind of a team defense oriented, but getting Stackhouse and Brinson back was huge to teach these other guys, like you just mentioned. I think Hall can be something really good in there. And then these new guys, the kid from Greensboro, from North Carolina, you know, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's going to be good too.
Bulldog Ben, we've talked a lot about impact freshmen, some of the guys that we're just now seeing for the first time. He's asking which sophomore makes the biggest jump from last year.
Well, it'll be hard to say anybody in particular. I would say Monroe Freeling on the offensive line. I would say Lawson Lucky at tight end. Andrew Paul at running back. Probably on defense. You know, maybe a couple of these corners like Harris.
You have the young linebackers with C.J. Allen. And
I would say that right there.
And then finally, from Big Fatty, do you think Georgia will have the best special teams altogether in the country this season?
We'll be right up there with our kicker and punter. We got to replace the snapper, but I'm just telling you now, those guys work hard, and the incentive is get on the field some way. If you're a young guy, that's the way you do it. Be a special teams phenom, and if you can do that, then it's easier to get in the game because you're on the trip. You know what I mean? You're dressing out, and you know if Georgia's winning, you can get in the game more. So I think our special teams will be – Kirk Benedict does a terrific job. All these guys are honed in. You know, Hartley helps them a lot. Muschamp, they all – and then, of course, the number one guy is Kirby because he puts a big emphasis on it. But he's in every special teams meeting. He's leading the charge at every special teams practice as far as – he's on that just like he is offense and defense. So I would say top three special teams for sure.
Coach, do you have a joke for us tonight?
Not really. I mean, it's past my bedtime. I was worried about making it tonight. I went over to watch Georgia tennis team play Texas, and just makes you sick to think about those two guys that we lost to the pros. But our kids are battling. They got a big women's match tomorrow, A&M. And pulling, try to stay up and watch the Dogs hopefully beat Florida. We need to beat them here tonight. So, I'm glad you guys got to go over there and check them out today. That's good.
I always appreciate that. I mean, you know me, I always want more, but it's better than nothing. And to see those guys in person, to see the newcomers, to see Nitro Tuggle, you know, to see the new wideouts, the new cornerbacks, you know, Andre Evans, all those guys. It's Joseph Jonye, JJA, Justin Williams. You got to be – I'm just telling folks, I know we have to be unbiased, but I'll say the same thing the coach said the last few years. That looks like a football team. They're loaded. That is going to be fun. Georgia's going to be right back into this year. Yes, it's a tough schedule, but day two, what we got to saw. Again, I've been doing this 30 years, longer than that. This team looks different. You know, this team looks like a championship caliber football team, and I think that they're going to be pretty good. So,
go for it.
Yep. I hope that's all the time we have for this week's show. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday. We should be back at noon. Depending on what Kirby Smart does with his press availability, we'll play it by ear. But we should be back next Tuesday at noon in our normal time slot. So check us out then. We'll see you later. Take care.